WREL is staying on top of two shootings in Raleigh within just hours of each other. Now at 7, WREL's breaking news tracker is live with new information on these separate cases and what we know about the victims. Then North Carolina's first Buc-ee's expected to bring more people to Mebane. Our one-on-one with the city's mayor about plans to navigate the extra traffic.
We're facing some ice-cold mornings before an impressive warm-up. I'll time out your work week and the potential for weekend rain.
And we continue to follow breaking news. Two shootings in Raleigh less than 2 hours apart. Thank you for joining us. I'm Dan Haggerty.
And I'm Ashley Rope. The first shooting unfolded on Bragg Street in downtown Raleigh just before 2 o'clock this afternoon. Police say this followed a dispute.
About 2 hours later, then, a man was seriously hurt in another shooting, this one on Poole Road. This scene, again, about 2 miles away. WRL's Willie Danley is live at the scene, which is still very active tonight on Poole Road. And Willie, officials now telling you that they do not believe that these shootings are related.
Yes, Dan, that's right. Although those shootings happened only a few miles away from each other, officials did confirm with me that they're both isolated incidents. As you can see behind me, this scene on Poole Road is still extremely active as police officers investigate this shooting that sent one man to the hospital with serious injuries. Take a look at this video that we captured here on the scene, and you can see how Raleigh police have Poole Road blocked off as they gather evidence. I spoke to the Raleigh watch commander, and he told me that this house that they're investigating is a well-known drug house in the community. He went on to say that the suspect in this shooting is a well-known drug dealer that they don't think will be too difficult to locate. Police were out here investigating the scene with police dogs and drones, searching the area looking for that suspect. As I said, they're treating this shooting as an isolated incident and told me that there's currently no threat to the public. We're going to continue to keep an eye on this shooting as well as the one on Bragg Street to see when and if those suspects are caught. Back to you.
All right, Willie, thank you so much. Live for us in Raleigh. And as you mentioned, the Bragg Street shooting, it was earlier this afternoon. The WRL breaking news tracker grabbing this video there on Bragg Street. Police say that's where they found a man with a gunshot wound. It was just before 2 o'clock. He was taken to the hospital, is expected to survive. Police believe that it was a fight that led up to this shooting, and they have not arrested any suspects.
The very first Buc-ee's in North Carolina will draw people from all over to our area, and that means more traffic. Right now, Mebane leaders are working on plans to navigate that. WREL's Aaron Thomas is live outside the meeting where they discuss this. Aaron, you had a one-on-one meeting with the city's mayor. How'd that go?
Yeah, we sure did. And Ashley, the mayor, Mayor Ed Hooks, tells me that he and other city leaders here are excited for this upcoming project. Now, just within the past hour here at City Hall, he and the city council, they gave the green light for NCDOT to move forward with updating this interchange in the area where this Buc-ee's is slated to go. Let's take you back. It was actually last week that we aired a report from our Five on Your Side team. Some of those folks, they actually traveled to Florence, South Carolina. That's where the closest Buc-ee's is located near the Tar Heel State. County leaders in South Carolina, they tell WREL that the mega-sized store has brought generous tax revenue to the area, although traffic has been an issue. Now, NCDOT and city leaders in Mebane are tasked with ensuring proper traffic flow. The 75,000-square-foot station will be at the Trollingwood Hallfields Road near I-85 and I-40. That's an exit away from the already popular Tanger Outlets.
That was one of the biggest reasons for the citizens against it in other areas. But with the transportation impact analysis that they did, we're sure that they're going to be able to handle the traffic. I'm sure there will be some spikes at time, especially the first few weeks that it's open.
And the mayor goes on to say that he's hoping that once it is open, that the traffic will eventually level off. Now, just within the past 20 minutes, I got an email from a representative with NCDOT telling me that Buc-ee's is required to construct traffic improvements based on its approved traffic impact analysis. On our late news, we're taking a closer look at some of the improvements that have to happen before this big Buc-ee's is able to break ground. Ashley?
Aaron Thomas, live in Mebane. Thank you.
A 62-year-old Raleigh man is accused of sexually abusing a child at his church and is now fighting to clear his name. Kenneth Newcomer was charged with sex crimes against a child about a year ago, and investigators say those crimes happened at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, where he attended and his wife worked at the time. WRL's Chelsea Donovan found out today Newcomer's attorneys say this evidence does not support the claims, and he's fighting to get the case dismissed.
Kenneth Newcomer was actually expected in court today, but that hearing was postponed until Wednesday, and that's because the defense has filed this motion. And basically what they're saying is they haven't received any evidence in this sex crimes case from the prosecution, and Newcomer's attorney believes this whole case should be thrown out.
It's been a year since 62-year-old Kenneth Newcomer was arrested on 3 counts of indecent liberties with a child and 2 counts of other sex offenses with a minor. Prosecutors believe Newcomer, who spent time and was a member of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church on Creedmoor Road in Raleigh, sexually abused a child around the age of 7 or 8 inside the church several times from 2007 to 2009. In this new court filing, Newcomer's attorney says evidence is lacking and the case should be dismissed. He wrote a year ago the victim repeated her allegations and made some statements contradictory to her statements made during the first call and some statements that were factually inaccurate. Attorney William Finn also writes the Wake County District Attorney's Office has informed the defense that the video recording of the interview with Newcomer has been deleted and is not recoverable. Finn believes the case has no physical evidence and no evidence to corroborate the accuser's allegations. He goes on to say Newcomer is now forced to decide between allowing the jury to hear the detective's account and impression of the interview without the video or being forced to take the stand to testify. The government, through its neglect, is forcing Newcomer into a corner where the only way out is to testify. District Attorney Lauren Freeman responding to the claims today, saying her office takes the allegations seriously. And it's their obligation to, quote, provide discovery to the defense counsel and seeks to fully meet this requirement to the extent that materials exist. These matters are reviewed by the court through a motion, as will be done in this case.
Newcomer was previously in the Wake County Jail under a $1 million bond, but after 6 months in jail, he recently bonded out in August. Now, I reached out to his attorney several times today, but have not heard back. Chelsea Donovan, WRAL News, Raleigh.
I want you to listen to this. It's surveillance video capturing the moment a man shot into a Durham home, hitting an 8-year-old. Did you keep count of that? 14 shots fired. This happened last month on Liberty Street. The girl is recovering. Police are hoping this video will help them identify the shooter. Crime Stoppers offering an award in this case. You can read more on WREL.com and look for a live report during our late news at 10 on Fox 50 and 11 on WREL.
Protests and pressure mounting in Durham at the school system there. The Durham Association of Educators organized the rally that you see here. Certified and classified staff, along with some parents, they picketed at the downtown building. Many employees there telling WREL the two staff-recommended options that the board considered last Friday just didn't meet their demands, and they're glad the board decided to vote on this issue this Thursday instead. We spoke with a teacher and parent who says that this has been a real learning experience for her family.
That I understand that having this day off is very hard for all families, all working families, but it's really important for us to be supportive of our school's classified staff. There's just so many people that are being affected.
At last Friday's meeting, the school board unanimously voted to appoint a financial comptroller. They also agreed to meet with the Durham Association of Educators.
Wake County teachers will have access to free school supplies starting tomorrow. Tools for Schools, an initiative through Wake Ed Partnership, is opening its doors at their new location tomorrow. As WRAL's data journalist Allie Ingersoll explains, the expansion comes as more teachers are turning to the shop for supplies.
Keith Poston tidies up, stocking shelves with school supplies.
Kids use these all the time.
While the president of the Wake Ed Partnership is excited to welcome teachers to the free store at this new location, he's also disheartened that a place like this has to exist.
In my opinion, and a lot of others, they shouldn't have to have a place like this, but they just don't get the amount of school supplies funding that they should, and so they have to go out and buy their own supplies for the classroom.
When the partnership first surveyed educators about 4 years ago, they estimated spending between $500 and $600 of their own money on supplies annually. Now it's more than $900 a year.
Inflation may be down, but the prices have kind of stayed. And there are certain items, particularly these consumable items, paper and stuff, has stayed very high. And so, yeah, it's the teachers are having to spend more to get the same amount of supplies.
Inflation isn't only affecting how much they're spending, but also how much real money they're taking home.
Starting salary for a Wake County teacher in the 2015-2016 school year was a little over $41,000 a year. This year, it's about $46,000. While that might look like a good raise on paper, the price of a dollar isn't the same. When we account for inflation, the $41,000 a teacher made almost a decade ago would be about $53,000 now, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. And the $46,000 teachers are making now would equal about $35,000 in 2015. So instead of a raise, it's a loss of almost 15%.
Add insult to injury, you're making less real dollars than you were 10 years ago. And oh, by the way, you need to go out and buy your own supplies too.
Poston says they're serving more people than before. This school year, just in the fall, more than 4,500 teachers accessed the store, eclipsing the number of teachers they helped out all of last year. He feels this work and helping teachers is really helping everyone in the state.
The one career that every other career depends on is a teacher.
And setting up North Carolina for continued success. In Raleigh, Allie Ingersoll, WRAL News.
The doors to the new location on Capitol Boulevard near the food bank open tomorrow just after the ribbon cutting at 11 a.m.
There is a new airline flying out of RDU, so you will soon be able to fly to a new international destination, the latest carrier and destination to choose Raleigh and the Triangle, and just how soon you'll be able to book that trip. Plus, we are nearly a month away from legalized online sports betting. And if you thought the ads were flooding your social media feeds now, well, just wait. A look at how our state compares to the others and the rules behind advertising. Kat.
And from the 20s to the 70s, we've got it all this week. Coming up, I'll let you know which days you want to opt for the t-shirts and which days you'll need the coats.
Google is trying to have the verdict against them in a suit with Cary-based Epic Games tossed out. Their lawyers are making several arguments, including improper jury instructions. A federal jury ruled that the Google App Store is an illegal monopoly in December. The ruling found Google violated antitrust laws to extract fees and limit competition from Epic and others on its mobile app store. If the ruling holds, it could give developers more sway over how their apps are distributed and how they profit off them.
So get ready for those sports betting ads to just flood your social media feeds and to dominate the airwaves, frankly, here in North Carolina. DraftKings is that's the first sports book to make an advertisement buy right here at WRAL. You'll start seeing that. You'll start seeing this commercial with comedian Kevin Hart tomorrow, the one just popping up there. Nine companies are competing for customers to download their apps for the mobile sports betting here. The state does have rules in place for how they advertise, though, including no ads on college campuses or at events aimed at people under the legal gambling age of 21.
We do have restrictions, but a lot of advertising is just general advertising. It's on TV stations and on radio stations, and anybody could be watching or hearing those types of things. The reality is that the marketing is hitting everybody.
Sports books could begin registering customers in North Carolina at noon on March 1st. They won't be able to legally place any bets until the games on March 11th.
RDU is growing again. Today, airport officials announced the addition of a new international airline and a new destination. WRAL's Shelly Jackson explains when travelers can hop on a flight to Panama City.
You will be seeing more international flights here on the board at RDU. Copa Airlines flights to Panama City are the 10th nonstop international destination from the airport. The nonstop service to Panama City, Panama begins June 21st. The announcement is a culmination of a four-year effort by RDU to lure Copa to the Triangle.
We have 270 people a day on average going back and forth between Central America and South America.
Michael Andguth, president and CEO of the Raleigh-Durham Airport Authority, says adding a route to Central America makes sense.
So if you think about the Latino population is going to continue to grow, the demand for businesses down there is going to continue to grow, I think the population by 2030 alone is going to be 22-23%. Latino in the United States. So we want to make sure that we can provide that connectivity, not only for businesses, but for families and friends.
2023 was a banner year for RDU. The airport saw a record number of passengers, 14.5 million, pass through. It added 5 new airlines and kicked off nonstop flights between RDU and Paris. Direct flights from RDU to Germany begin in June and flights to Mexico in July. COPA will fly RDU to Panama City and back 4 days a week. Dennis Carey, Chief Commercial Officer at COPA Airlines, says the city and airport's growth made it an attractive location.
What stood out is the vibrancy, the growth, and everything you know about the Triangle area, whether it's the universities, whether it's the growing research presence, industry coming into the region.
Joe Malazzo, Executive Director of the Regional Transportation Alliance, says this is good news for everyone in the Triangle.
All of these refer to new companies moving in, people going there, and even if you don't work for those companies, those people are buying things, those are selling things, those are and creating jobs in the market, and that allows all of us to be more successful.
Shelley Jackson, WRAL News, RDU.
Well, there is no doubt that RDU has really been growing. A lot more destinations reach from the Triangle here, but no need to travel this week. The weather is looking quite nice. Meteorologist Kat Campbell joining us now. We're into the 70s this weekend.
We're into the 70s on a Saturday. How about that, Dan? Like we're going to be at 72 for the high Saturday, and the forecast is actually trending drier for Saturday at least. We pushed the rain back to Sunday into Monday. So those of you who are a fan of spring, it's going to be feeling like spring again at the end of the week. But the next couple of days are going to be feeling like they should during this time of year in February. The normal high is 54. We're hovering right around that number, 53 tomorrow, 55 on Wednesday. As we get toward the end of the work week, we'll be back in the 60s. And we only have one day in the 70s, but that comes on Saturday. Tonight in Wilson, you can see the whirly gigs twirling outside. We have a wind out of the northeast, and that wind is going to be picking up as we head into tomorrow morning and during the day tomorrow. The northeast wind is going to be bringing in some cooler air for us. It's a cooling wind for us here in North Carolina. 43 degrees outside in Wilson right now. We'll wake up to temperatures in the low 30s in the morning, but that'll come with a wind chill. So why is it going to be so windy? We've got this area of low pressure that we're watching. That's moving away from us, and we're going to be wedged between that area of low pressure and this area of high pressure, and it's that pressure difference that creates the stronger wind for us. So overnight, we'll have the wind out of the north, northeast, 32 in Raleigh, 34 in Fayetteville. Wind chills in the 20s, though, in the morning. And then Wednesday morning, it's not as windy, but still a cooling flow from north to south. And temperatures are going to be in the upper 20s as you wake up on Wednesday morning. So just because you see that 72 on Saturday, don't get too excited just yet and leave your coat behind. You're going to need it tomorrow. It'll feel like 27 with a wind chill at 8 a.m. By noon, the wind chill around 41 with a temperature of 49. And temperatures in the 50s during the afternoon. Low to mid 50s, wind chills could be closer to the upper 40s. Hour by hour, if we look at the wind speed forecast, it should be around 10 to 15 miles per hour throughout the day tomorrow. And keep in mind, with the gusty winds, there will be increased fire danger. So make sure that you are not burning, especially in the southern part of our area. But if you can refrain from burning everywhere, I really would recommend doing so. Long range, we've been telling you about this for weeks now. And the Climate Prediction Center long range outlook is agreeing with what Mike and I have been telling you. Below normal temperatures are likely during the extended. So this is going to be after Valentine's Day, likely through the end of the month of February. During the same time period through February 19th, below normal precipitation is in the forecast, though. For your 7-day forecast, we've got some ups and downs that we're watching. A cooler next couple of days, but warming up for the end of the week. Friday, a 30% chance of some rain back in the forecast. That chance down to 20% now on Saturday. Sunday into Monday is our best opportunity for rain of the next week. High temperatures still in the 60s then.
Okay, thank you, Kat.
Some local talent on full display at the Grammys last night. A look at the big moments featuring some North Carolina natives. Oh, this was a good one. It's all coming up. There's a new place for people to learn about the natural world in our state.
This is cool. So the Museum of Natural Science in Greenville reopened over the weekend. It had been closed for a bit for some renovation work over the past year. There are some new exhibits now, programs for kids, a new aquarium, and more. The best part, admission is free, and the museum will accept any donations, so be generous if you can. A native of Wilson, North Carolina, won a Grammy last night.
Mary Mitchell Campbell worked as a producer on the show Some Like It Hot. The show won the Grammy for Best Musical Theater Album. Campbell graduated from UNC School of the Arts in 1992. She's performed with Alicia Keys, Katy Perry, Kelly Clarkson, the list goes on. She also worked as the musical director for the Broadway musical Mean Girls. Her win last night for Some Like It Hot is her first Grammy. Congratulations.
Yeah.
She's living my dream.
Yeah, it's kind of a cherry on top of an already great career.
Totally. And there's no doubt that female artists ruled the night.
Yeah, and one you'll be very familiar with, North Carolina native Fantasia. She brought down the house with her performance of Tina Turner's Proud Mary as part of the show's In Memoriam segment. Take a look. You got to be able to bring it to do Tina, you know. So Fantasia had what it took. She's from High Point, of course you know that, in Guilford County. She did wonderfully last night. Of course, a few other big moments that people are still talking about. Taylor Swift made history as the first artist to win Album of the Year 4 times when she took the trophy for Midnights. Swift also won her 13th Grammy for Best Pop Vocal Album and used the milestone to announce her next album, Tortured Poets Department, out April 19th. You know, hey, you know, win an award and try to win another award and sell some records in the process. That's Miley Cyrus, of course, and she won Record of the Year for Flowers. That,
she was your favorite part of the night, right?
I loved her performance. She seemed like she was really there for the crowd. She said during her performance, "I just won my first Grammy," so she seemed like genuinely
she was excited.
Present.
And I gotta give her a lot of credit for being up there on the stage by herself. No backup dancers,
that's
no team, just her. That was very cool.
You don't need anything more, Miley. She does it pretty well.
Except Celine Dion was the real highlight of the show.
Nice. Thanks for being with us tonight.
Our next newscast is at 10 on Fox 50 and 11 on WRAL. Have a great night.
I like Celine too.
Oh, yeah.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air, Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.